I realize now that there's no way to edit out the bug sex from this episode. Like, I am stuck with that whole scenario.
But you want to edit it out? We could,
No, I don't want to edit it out. No, the bug sex is, that's going to be in there. I think there's no way around it now. Yeah. We've structured too much around it.
Gone too far. Editor, I've got it. I've got audio footage of Nixon fucking a bug.
And we're gonna play that footage for you on the air right now. This has been held back from the public for years, but it's been released.
If you have children in the room, you may want them to exit for this next segment.
Can we play that tape, please?
All right.
If you did, would you do it like this?
That's not how I do it.
I've been working myself to the bone, trying to pay off my student loans.
That's not how I do it.
I like carrots in my stew and a sprig of parsley. How about you?
That's not how I do it.
Break it down.
Would you do it in a jacket? Would you do it in a hat?
Would you do it like this?
I'd do it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of That's Not How I Do It, the podcast where we take a hard look at the world around us, find something that we'd like to improve, and fix it. I'm Sam Chidley.
I'm James Miser.
And I'm Jared Sane.
And today, we're going to take a look back at a very interesting period in American history, the Watergate scandal. So, I don't know about you guys, my exposure to this topic is probably as much or more from movies as it is from, like, history.
They still don't really know what the express purpose of
the break-in
was, whether it was to try and find links between the DNC and prostitutes, or just to be, to get a bunch of other dirt on DNC peoples. It's not totally clear.
So whatever the motivation, it was Nixon's campaign for re-election campaign, right?
Committee to Re-elect the President, which is an unfortunate acronym to be called CREEP and get caught
being a creep.
Being a creep, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think of Nixon as being a creep.
He's definitely, I don't know. I don't know if he's definitely a creep, but he was
taping
a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
And meetings and stuff like that, which is pretty creepy.
Yeah, he was doing some creepy stuff.
So Nixon's reelection committee, they hire these five dudes to break into the DNC headquarters on June 17th, 1972. And they do a really terrible job of breaking into this place. They're immediately caught. So then Nixon's like, we got to cover this shit up. Meanwhile, the investigations are going forwards and there's some confidential informants. And then Nixon's like, oh shit, we got to cover up the cover up.
Right.
And eventually they're like, you're a total creep. you're going to be impeached. And he's like, fine, I quit.
Yeah. And I'm not a creep.
And I'm not a creep.
Aside from being kind of an embarrassing, like, moment for our society to have, like, a president who is, like, engaging in these, like, weird criminal conspiracies. What about this doesn't sit well with you guys? Like, what about the whole, like, the way that Watergate plays out? Would you want to change?
Well, if I was going to do it, I would definitely do the burglary much, much better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, okay. What happened was they were taping a bunch of doors open. You know, they were just like duct. I don't know if they're duct taping, but they were like just taping it so that the doors couldn't close and lock.
Right.
I like to think it was just massive amounts of scotch tape.
Yeah. Just like tons of scotch tape.
And that it wasn't just the latch that they like kept closed, but they actually taped the door open.
Yeah.
So scotch tape like around the hand.
Uh-huh. Just like taped it to the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't, you're right. It's not like a very, for something that's so high profile, you think that they would have done it a little bit more professionally.
Yeah.
So what's your, how would you do it?
I would go in through the ducts.
Uh-huh.
The air ducts.
Yeah. Do some like Mission Impossible stuff.
Yeah. But I think we got to do something about that Forrest Gump character.
The one who called it in.
The one who called it in. If I was gonna break into Watergate, the first thing I'd do is I'd take out Forrest Gump.
Yeah. So the question I have, James, is would you do some Mission Impossible stuff, or would you hire the Impossible Mission Unit?
Well, okay. So Nixon didn't directly hire these people. I'm not the president when I'm planning this heist.
Right.
I'm just like a creepy campaign dude.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I have the authority to hire the Mission Impossible Force, but I do have a slush fund with which I will hire a young Tom Cruise to do this, because I feel like his intensity and his commitment to his roles will already make him a much better burglar than anybody that they hired.
You're right, but... He's also, I don't know, he'd have to sign something like, all right, but you can't, there's no publicity for this for until like after I'm out of office.
Right? Yeah, well, at this point, I don't even, how old is Tom Cruise at this point? He's probably like 13 years old.
Right. Right, because this is like,
perfect
72?
Cover.
72, yeah.
Yeah, he would have been pretty young.
He'd be a minor. He wouldn't even be able to be charged for anything.
Yeah, it would work out pretty well with the air ducts.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so Tom Cruise is leading the task force to break into the DNC. Is it just Tom Cruise, or can we give him a crew?
Yeah, he can have a crew. Who do you guys want to have on the crew?
Alec Baldwin.
You want Alec Baldwin?
Yeah. He's like the slick talker.
I'm kind of interested to find out like what other celebrities were 10 at the time. And put together like this like crack team of
10-year-olds.
10-year-old.
Yeah. I think they should all be minors, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they get caught, you can just be like, oh, it's just like a bunch of kids. They were playing a prank or something. It would have been a very small news story.
Okay, Rosie O'Donnell. She was 10.
What's her role in the team? So far, I like Alec Baldwin because he's a fast talker. Rosie O'Donnell is doing what?
She's feeding Forrest Gump chocolates.
I don't want to pay for that. Why does she get to be on the team?
She's got some family connections. You know who else was 10? Jerry Rice.
Oh yeah, Jerry Rice.
He
needs somebody who's
gonna be the best wide receiver in football history.
Yeah. Yeah, you need somebody who's real fast and good with their hands.
Oh, Emilio Estevez. He was actually on the IMF team in the first movie. If we get Emilio Estevez, he would probably still die in an elevator shaft.
Oh yeah, he definitely dies in an elevator shaft. All right, so we've got Alec Baldwin, Tom Cruise, Jerry Rice, Emilio, and Rosie O'Donnell, who's just
role
feeding
is to
chocolates.
Be determined. Yeah.
I think I like her feeding chocolates to Forrest Gump.
Okay.
We have a star-studded cast of burglars.
Miners.
Yeah, young burglars.
Yeah.
With bright futures ahead of them.
Mm-hmm. Well... They would have had bright futures ahead of them if they hadn't gotten caught up in the Watergate scandal.
I don't know. I mean, they're minors. I feel like their identities would be kept anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then,
records expunged.
Records expunged. And then Tom Cruise is such a force that he's just destined to be a star.
Yeah, it's
no
a good
matter
point.
What.
That's a good point. But they still get caught.
What?
They still get, yeah, otherwise we don't have a story.
How do they get caught then?
Does
a guard notice the
reams
of...
I mean, Emilio Estevez died in an elevator. So.
Yeah, his body, he could just, like, his body could just be there forever.
Yeah. Well, so they just, like, never find his body?
Yeah. So what happens, how they actually get caught, is that Rosie O'Donnell is feeding Forrest Gump a bunch of chocolates, but Forrest Gump still sees.
Uh-huh.
He sees a crew of kids.
Okay, so they get caught. And these five miners get hauled in downtown for questioning. And at this point, is this a story now already?
Yeah, I mean, it's the DNC.
All right, so there's a break-in at the DNC, and these kids who are like, you know, they all seem like they've got some sort of inherent talent that we can't quite pin down.
No, but I think it catches the attention of like a real hard-hitting journalist.
Mm-hmm. Who's like, these kids have it.
There's something about them.
Uh-huh.
The so sheer is that intensity in a young Tom Cruise's eyes.
So that was that's when Bob Woodward came in, and he was like, I have to write this story about these five kids.
But then as soon as he starts looking into the story, he realizes it was no ordinary like five lost kids in the DNC.
This thing goes all the way to the top.
Mm-hmm. How does this like conspiracy unravel? What is the cover-up? Where does that start? Because like right now, all we have is we have five kids that have been arrested for something.
Okay, so they've been arrested. They've been let go. They're just like, oh, we're a bunch of kids. We're just hanging out. And then Tom Cruise shows up to elementary school driving a Lambo. Alec Baldwin has like a fancy Rolex.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie O'Donnell, she's got all the jewels.
Mm-hmm.
She's got all sorts of jewels just like in her hair.
Sure.
And Emilio's still dead.
Right, that's right. They only got four of them because Emilio died in an elevator shaft. So that's. I think I want to go back to that. I really think that is this. That's where it's not just like some kids like goofing around. Like one of them died in an elevator shaft. So there is a story here.
One of them died in the elevator shaft, and then the rest of them started showing up with all sorts of new stuff.
Some flash.
Yeah. They started spending their money.
Yeah.
Their slush fund money.
Uh huh. And all right, so at this point, like, is it a journalist who starts getting on the case? He's like
Bob Woodward.
He's like, there is something.
No, this is an alternate world where it's
Bob Woodward.
Blob Woodward.
Blob Woodward.
He's like a blob
uh-huh.
person.
So he's just sort of like an entity.
Yeah, he's like a gelatinous goo.
Okay, all right, Blob Woodward. Hungry young reporter
right.
for the Washington. Are we sticking with the Washington Post? Or is,
yeah, why not? Yeah.
So it's everything else is the same except.
Well, Blob Woodward.
Blob Woodward is a blob.
And Carl Bernstein is a Bernstein bear.
Okay, I like that a lot, actually. Like, who wouldn't like the Bernstein bears? All right, so a gelatinous entity and one of the Bernstein bears think there is something very suspicious about these four surviving members of this gang of children that broke into the DNC.
Yeah.
So they start digging.
Right. And you know what they do? It's what you always do. You follow the money.
How do you do that? Where does the money go? Like... You're trying to figure out who paid them all this money that they're spending on cars and watches and stuff.
So how they do that is they follow Rosie O'Donnell's trail of jewels until they get to the creep offices.
Okay.
And Blob Woodward he blobs under the doorway of the office.
When you say a trail of jewels that he follows,
yeah.
is this like an actual like physical trail of jewels like on the ground?
Yes.
That he like just like he's like, oh, there's another one, there's another one.
Yeah.
And he follows that into the creep offices.
Yeah.
Okay. Not very good at covering their tracks.
Well, they're 10 years old.
Yeah, they're gonna drop some jewels.
And Rosie O'Donnell just put a whole bunch of loose jewels in her hair.
Yeah. So, Blob Woodward, having oozed under the door of creep, and then learning what the acronym stands for.
he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. This is a very big deal because this is the committee to reelect the president, what that stands for.
And then he, like, oozes back out, and he's like, Bernstein... We've got a case.
I think at this point is when you're going to start to get some like threatening phone calls. So this is the other thing about the cover-up is I feel like they could have covered this up better. Like, it's like the whole thing kind of sloppy and just like way too many like loose ends. Like if you're Nixon.
Yeah.
And Creep.
Yeah.
So if I was Creep at this point, I would knock off all of those kids. I would just get rid of them.
Oh no.
You'd murder.
You'd lose so many good
sorry guys.
Good movies.
Yeah, but that's
30 Rock would never be the same.
That's true. I mean, I didn't want to do it, but you know,
I don't know. You decided to do it pretty easily.
Yeah, you
just very casually.
Like you kind of do want to do it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, I'm sad to see them go, but if I'm, this is the presidency at stake here. Yeah. So
you got it. Well, you have your whole army of assassins who are also minors.
Yeah. What celebrity minor assassin do you want to murder Tom Cruise and his friends?
Oh, Jason Statham.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking somebody like. I might more creepy than like action hero-y, like Steve Buscemi. Like to see a Steve Buscemi assassin.
Oh, you could get Willem Dafoe.
Uh huh. Yeah, maybe. Guys like that.
What about a John Candy type?
John Candy.
Yeah, you it's wouldn't suspect it.
No, you wouldn't suspect it. He would. If John Candy was coming to kill you, he would like buy you a drink at a bar and like tell you a bunch of jokes.
Yeah.
And then
you just keel over.
You die from laughter.
Yeah,
and a knife in the heart.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. John Candy would be a specialist at knife throwing.
Oh, I was thinking he would like stand up, like you know, give you a pat on the back, like, oh, we've had such a great time, and then he'd snap your neck real quick.
Oh, yeah, that sounds pretty good too.
That's good. Yeah.
So yeah, they're all dead now. That
no,
you don't want him. You don't want to kill him off.
No, Tom Cruise definitely survived. He killed whoever you sent after him.
Yeah, John Candy dead.
How many times has Tom Cruise died on screen? He's unkillable, Tom Cruise.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So, Tom Cruise survives.
Which does pose a serious problem for this cover-up.
Yeah, especially when he starts calling up Blob Woodward.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think Tom Cruise is Deep Throat?
Well, it's an anonymous source, but maybe.
I'm just saying, like, he would have the motivation.
I mean, Tom Cruise loves a good vengeance plot.
That's true.
Yeah. Can we talk for a second about the nickname Deep Throat?
I think we need to. It does seem like a pretty strange choice.
So, do you think he was named after the movie Deep Throat, or do you think the movie was named after him?
Because
he was so good at sucking dicks.
I'd have to check the chronology on that. I feel like the movie came after.
No, he was named after the movie.
Really?
Yeah, and for his deep knowledge of the situation.
Well, he was deep background. That's the whole thing about being deep. But so Deep Throat, that it came after the movie, and that's why he's called Deep Throat.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. He's named after a porn.
It was a very controversial film.
Can you imagine? Like you're like trying to like, you know, like get the press to like break this like huge story about the president. And all people remember you for is like having a name that's about like
sucking dick. Yeah, yeah. I imagine it would be pretty frustrating. Right, and you can't even complain about it because then you won't be an anonymous source
right.
anymore.
That's like if we called Edward Snowden Two Girls One Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would have been a great nickname for him.
So what would are you suggesting that we change the name of Deep Throat to something else?
No, I want it to be the other way around. I want Deep Throat the movie to be named after him.
And it's like a political espionage film instead.
It's a political espionage porno.
Okay.
It's still porno.
That sounds
fun. So is the plot of the porn going to be based on like real elements of the actual source, which is Tom Cruise?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of meetings at underground parking lots, and information is given in the form of BJs.
I'm fine with that for the porn that they'll eventually make out of this, you know, situation. But I don't think that that's like what actually happened.
Yeah,
the real Deep Throat even in our world is not. This is not a 10-year-old Tom Cruise like performing sexual acts to share information, in the porn that they're gonna make of it, sure. So Tom Cruise is Deep Throat, but that won't be revealed for like another 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
So at this point, he's a 10-year-old kid in parking garages talking to
right.
Bob Woodward.
And the reason why he's called Deep Throat is because even though he's 10 years old, he has a really deep and resonant voice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's trying, he doesn't want anyone to know that it's 10-year-old Tom Cruise. He's trying to like disguise
himself.
He's like
standing
on,
in the shadows.
Like on like an Apple box.
Yeah. He's like,
I'm not Tom Cruise.
I'm not Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that real deep voice.
Yeah.
That's a 10-year-old deep voice, yeah.
If you need to, you should name me Deep Voice or something something like that because of my deep voice. Who was the actual Deep Throat? It's like an FBI guy, right?
He's the deputy director of the FBI.
Oh, that's pretty high up. It's not as exciting. Does anybody know like why he did it?
Why he deep throated?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he probably was like, this is fucked up.
Yeah, this is wrong.
This is wrong.
And apparently he was a real chatty Cathy.
So his motivations may have been ethical, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. Which does not sound like the case with our Deep Throat, who seems to be doing it in like a mixture of self-preservation and vengeance.
Yeah.
Because they killed off his friends.
Yeah.
So, except for Amelia, who died stupidly in an elevator.
Yeah,
shaft.
That was totally preventable.
Emilio!
Okay, so Tom Cruise is meeting with Blob in the basement of a parking garage. He's like, this thing, it's not just about the DNC. There's all sorts of crazy shit going on in the president's office. There's bugs everywhere.
There's actual bugs all over the Oval Office. It is
covered
in
mosquito
bites. Filthy.
Right, because Richard Nixon is actually a bug lord. Which means that he can communicate with bugs.
Actual
bugs.
I believe it. Yeah.
Wow. So that's how he's eavesdropping on everyone is he's
right.
He's like having insects listen in on conversations and report back to him.
You got it.
That is one tricky dick.
He's like, yes. Tell me. Tell me my bugs.
Me. Me. Me.
Yes. Oh, and then he said, what?
Me.
God damn it.
I like to think that maybe that's what he is hiding in his mouth. It's like a bunch of bugs that are talking to him.
Yeah. Yeah, there's Nixon is actually mostly bugs.
Yeah. He's like the monster from the first Men in Black. He's that alien from the first Men in Black.
Yeah, or that monster in Nightmare Before Christmas. The Boogie Woogie Man.
Yeah, the Boogie Woogie Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just
all these cockroaches come out of his mouth. Yeah. Ugh.
That's
great. I am not a bug. So Deep Throat tells Bob Woodward that, and
Blob
Woodward.
Yeah,
he tells Blob Woodward that, and he takes it to his editor. It's like, this is gonna be a huge. This is gonna be a huge story.
Yeah, and his editor is like, where's the tits? Where's the blood? I want sex. I want body parts.
You know, you're a normal journalist.
Yeah.
You know, that's
if it bleeds, it leads.
Right. Show me tits. I like the idea of like a really hard hitting journalist going to his editor, and his editor's like, tits. I want tits.
Well, I think
I need sex.
He's like, just for me, not for the paper.
Right. Just like like okay. Okay, so you know, it's unfortunate, but that is the way that journalism works. So Blob Woodward needs to get some more sex and violence if he's going to get this piece taken seriously.
This is why the story took like 2 years to break, because the editor was
the
just
editor.
Not happy.
Just like really just wanted
something lascivious.
Yeah, something lascivious. Yeah. Right, but our Blob Woodward is a lot more inclined to give him that. So the story will break faster. But like, what does he do to sex it up?
Yeah, you know, there's not a whole lot of sex in the water.
No,
yeah.
there's none at all.
For a scandal, it's not that scandalous in that way.
Right. But, you know, since we can do it our way, I think it should be sexier. I think there should be something, like, flashier to this story.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I feel like, looking back, a lot of people don't even really know, like, the history of Watergate is unclear because there's not a whole lot of, like, really standout sexy moments in it.
Yeah.
So I want something I can take to print.
All right. Blob Woodward comes upon a tape of Richard Nixon engaging in intercourse with his bugs.
So when you say Blob Edward comes upon a tape.
Oh, God.
I didn't even realize what I was saying. But yes.
Yeah. So Deep Throat gives Bob Woodward a tape of Nixon having sex with a bug.
Yeah, so Nixon has sex with bugs, and which is something that people in his inner circle knew, but it's been kept under wraps pretty well, even throughout the whole first term in office.
Yeah.
But in an election year, the DNC were onto him.
Oh, no.
And maybe that's why they broke in.
Yeah. They wanted to secure the footage.
Maybe
destroy
the DNC
the
had stuff on Nixon and his bug sex. And so they were breaking in to get it.
Can we talk about how often people have sex with bugs on our podcast?
Has this come up before?
Yeah. Your B team, that's their whole deal.
Oh, that's right. They had sex with the giant bee. I didn't come up with Nixon having sex with bugs. That was not my idea.
Yeah, you did. No one was saying it was your idea. I think it's just...
Okay.
We're just commenting on it. It's a recurring theme.
Yeah, it's like we're really into drones, robots...
Tom Cruise.
Insane sex.
And people having sex with bugs.
I think it's because it's not even clear to me, like...
How? Yeah. The mechanics of it? Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't even know how bugs have sex. I really don't understand. Because it's like they're a skeleton. I don't get it. Yeah. It's okay. I don't have to get it. Nixon gets it. I don't know. Maybe there's just like a jar full of cockroaches and he just sticks his dick in it.
Oh, that's a terrifying image.
I just don't think about it too much, you know? Like, Nixon has sex with bugs. This is like, the story is going to break. It's just a matter of time. So.
Yeah, I was worried for a while that our podcast wasn't going to be, it had been not gross enough for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You were worried about that?
Yeah. I was like, oh, we should have an episode that's like really just nasty.
I didn't think this would be the one, but you know, Nixon fucking a bug to death is pretty disgusting. And also newsworthy. So you take that to the editor and he's like, okay.
Yeah.
I like the people have a right to know. And
give him the juice.
Yeah. So what happens next? What happens after that? Does he take it to print?
Oh, I don't think we need to go straight to print with that.
No, they need to corroborate their information.
Right, you need like a second source.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, cuz so far all they have is Deep Throat.
And that's a huge story that the President of the United States has sex with insects and then killed four children so that people wouldn't find out.
Yeah. But you know what Nixon's got to do now? He's got to cover up the cover-up.
Right. But there's a lot of loose ends at this point. Now, like,
right.
a lot of people know that he's fucking bugs.
Well, I mean, really, it's just
a handful of people.
Tom Cruise, Blob Woodward, and his editor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like Bernstein. I don't even know what the fuck he does.
And well, and also whoever
I guess he knows, but like doesn't. I don't know.
It's also whoever hired the five kids to break in.
So far we've dealt with loose ends by
killing them,
assassinations,
right? But I think maybe now that's it's
you can't
one thing
do that often.
You can't do that that often. It's one thing to kill off your like gang of criminals.
Yeah. But when you're starting to kill off like party officials?
Party officials and, like, known journalists and editors, you're not going to get away with that.
Nope.
So how does he go about this? Is it money? Is it political intimidation?
Yeah, you could maybe even try and discredit them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need a counter story, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he goes to, like, a competing newspaper and
leaks the story
that they have sex with bugs. That Bob Woodward and his editor are having sex with bugs at the Washington Post.
Yeah.
He goes to which paper does he go to?
The Times.
Times, yeah.
To like discredit the story that's about to come out.
Yeah, Jared, how would you cover up the cover up?
Yeah.
You want to make just a bigger noise about something else and try to distract people. It is tough to come up with a bigger story though than
the president has sex with bugs.
Yeah, you're in a tough spot, you know, when that's what you're up against. Maybe do you think does he have like a someone he'd ask to like fall on the sword, so to speak,
for him having sex with bugs?
Yeah,
like it's not. Oh, that wasn't Nixon on the tape. It's
yeah.
Me.
Yeah, doing my Nixon impression.
A Nixon impression.
And they have to have him record another tape.
Yeah. With video.
Yeah.
And release that as well.
Who falls on the sword is my question.
I think like a cabinet secretary, Department of the Interior.
It's kind of an ironic choice.
Yeah, it's a good.
It's like the nature cabinet member.
Yeah.
Has sex with bugs.
All right.
Okay, so the Department of the Interior takes a political nosedive on behalf of Nixon and comes out with a tell-all exclusive piece in the Times, confessing that he poses as the president while having sex with bugs in the Oval Office, knowing that he's being secretly recorded.
What?
That's the story.
Well, here's the thing about that is what that still proves is that Nixon has bugged the shit out of the White House.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know?
Yep.
Like, there's, like, all of the wiretapping and bugging stuff has been proven.
Mm-hmm. So, in an effort to, like, shirk off the bug sex story.
Yeah,
he's exposed himself.
Mm.
As a creep.
Mm.
Which is his real crime anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. The bug sex is pretty bad.
No, I mean, the bug sex is nothing compared to killing
three children.
Three kids,
yeah. Okay, so the now we know that Nixon is bugging the White House. So now this is like a really, like, this is very out there in the public
sphere. It's way out there.
It's way out there. So this is kind of the beginning of the end for Nixon.
Right. So, like, more tapes start coming out, tapes of Nixon ordering the
assassinations,
all this other shit,
paying people off, demanding all kinds of other small animals.
Yeah,
delivered to the White House.
I was gonna say making large orders of cockroaches and grasshoppers, uh-huh, and praying mantises,
yeah. Crickets. Yeah,
yeah, all that's on tape, and it's all coming out.
Yeah, well, pretty much, all these tapes are coming out of, like, Bob Woodward's and his editor's paper on the Washington Post. They're all, like, all this stuff is breaking. We find out that Nixon has been having sex with all sorts of stuff and ordering all sorts of people killed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of high-profile senators show up at the White House, and they're like, "Let us in!
Mm-hmm.
We gotta talk to the president."
"Just a minute!"
And so after Nixon finishes up, he lets him into the Oval Office, and they're like, "Bro, your shit's gonna be impeached, like, right away."
Uh-huh. Okay, they're coming at him like really, like, if you don't leave office, this is
happening.
Yeah,
this is definitely happening.
Yeah.
You are having sex with too many bugs.
Yeah.
Sending those bugs out and...
I don't even know if they would do him the courtesy if this was the story. Like, they might just be like, we're going to fucking impeach your ass.
He probably heard them talking about
it.
Well,
these are like his goons, right?
Oh, these are like his people.
His people. They're just like, man, you are like pretty much going to be impeached.
Yeah.
You're for sure going to be impeached. You should just go ahead and...
So I think that's the thing about this whole scandal that's kind of disappointing to me is that he gets to just like resign and walk away from it all. I think that's like kind of, even in the original like true story, I find that unsatisfying. That he can just be like, he just gets to like, well,
it is pretty humiliating though.
It's humiliating, but you know, he just gets to like ride off in his helicopter and that's it. Like,
oh, he's got that great photo of him doing the double peace signs, going up into the helicopter.
Yeah,
I want to keep that.
I guess it's like I'm not satisfied with the way the story ends with him resigning. I think I want it to be like they need to.
Well, I think like Deep Throat's got to come back. Tom Cruise wants full vengeance.
Yeah, I find it. I think Richard Nixon is going to like hole up in the Oval Office like Scarface style.
a mountain of bugs.
He's got a mountain of bugs and like a bazooka.
Oh, he's like, he's not even in the Oval Office. He's like on top of the White House on top of a mountain of bugs. And he's just screaming, I'm not a crook. I'm not a crook. I'm not a crook. And then Tom Cruise has a rocket launcher, and he's like, Deep Throat this.
Yeah. Right. Richard Nixon, as we've known all along, is actually a giant bug. He's made out of bugs.
Yeah. So his face splits open.
The rocket goes through it.
And we, as we all know, like cockroaches are extremely resilient creatures.
Yeah.
So he's fine.
Yeah. He sort of like, he explodes into like a bunch of different pieces, but then he sort of like
forms back together
from all of these cockroaches. Mm-hmm.
Can he fly? Does he fly away?
Yeah. Yeah. He, like, two giant wings, like, open up out of the back of his blazer.
Yeah. And he just...
And he's like, I'll be back again! And he does the two peace signs and flies away.
Yeah. I like that he says, I'll be back again.
Well, because he already lost to Kennedy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the thing. So there's this, like, giant showdown at the White House. I think they have to impeach him after that. I think we need to follow through on this impeachment and remove him from office legitimately. So he's gone.
Gerald Ford
is president.
You know what he does?
Nothing.
He pardons him.
Full pardon.
Ugh.
Full pardon.
Crazy. Mm. Even like the killing children and the bug sex and everything.
He's like, I got to do what's best for the country. Right. What's best for the country? For me to pardon a giant flying cockroach. All right. So Ford's president. Nixon's been pardoned. And he's flown away. But guess what happens 2 years later?
Coming this summer. A new film by Bob Woodward. Just when you thought he was gone for good, Richard Nixon returns to Washington, D.C.
I'm back!
He has six legs, two wings, and no respect for the Constitution.
That's me!
He can't be impeached!
I'm unimpeachable!
He can't be killed.
I'm unkillable.
Who will stop him?
Deep Throat this again.
Why, you little...
Starring Tom Cruise as Deep Throat.
Emilio!
And also Richard Nixon as Richard Nixon.
I'll fuck you. I'll fuck all of you.
And Will Smith as Agent J.
Big Bad Bug got a bit of a soft spot, huh?
I'm not a roach.
Rub your dick on this.
Oh, yeah.
Too late.
Watergate Part 2. Die, Nixon. Die.
God bless America.
Well, I don't remember that movie, but I think I'm definitely going to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I think it was big in international markets.
My favorite part is when it's revealed that the bugs are actually have been fucking Nixon.
Yeah, that was a real that's a real twist on the whole like mythology of the Watergate scandal.
It actually made me feel bad for Nixon a little bit.
I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for him. I think actually like the fact that he was a president who killed children and had sex with insects, like I just don't find that very sympathetic.
Oh, way to be judgy, Sam.
I'm just saying, you know, like he's a good villain in that way. Like when he's a giant cockroach monster raining terror on DC, I want Tom Cruise to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I usually do, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You always want Tom Cruise to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is a real slice of American history.
Sure is.
They don't teach you that stuff in elementary school.
History is just always so interesting when you get down into like the nitty-gritty of it.
Right. When you look at the facts.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's been our show for today. If you could rate and subscribe to us, that'd be wonderful. You can find us on social media at ThatSnotPod. And if you prove to me that you are not a robot, I will draw you a photo in iMessage.
Nobody's gonna do that. Like that, you gotta make. If you actually want people to prove that they're not robots,
not a robot to me.
James thinks if you're listening to this right now, James thinks you're a robot.
I think you're a robot.
He has no faith in you.
Everybody else is a robot.
You are so paranoid. You think you're surrounded by robots?
Yeah.
Like anyone who I don't know personally is a robot.
I don't know. If you're not a robot out there, prove it to me.
Prove it. Prove you're not a robot. How do you prove you're not a robot?
Say something a robot would never think to say.
Yeah, send us a CAPTCHA.
Yeah, send us a video proof of you doing a CAPTCHA to prove you're not a robot. I don't know. Maybe you're not a robot. I don't think you're necessarily a robot, but I'm not totally convinced that you're not a robot either.
Yeah. I guess I would prefer it if you weren't a robot, listener. But if you are a robot, I mean, thanks for listening. Yeah. A special thank you this week to Carl Bernstein, the other half of the Woodward and Bernstein pair, and famous bear from England.
That's right.
Thank you for your journalistic integrity.